Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, October 23rd, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the big book, and we're in the chapter We Agnostics on page 54. We'll be reading the third paragraph that begins at the very bottom of the page. Hence we saw and ends with man could never fly. We'll be commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers for the 12 steps, Marianne H., the 12 traditions, Patty T., readers of the text, Abby D., Nancy R., and Vanessa G. is our backup. Our newcomer greeter today is Kathleen W. Our second hour host is Eileen M., and announcements will be given by Kathy S. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, October the 22nd, 2024, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,848. That's 21848. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 21,849. That's 21849. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mary Ann H. to please read the 12 steps.
The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admit that we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for your service, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Marianne H. And I'll now ask Patty T. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. This is Patty T., compulsive overeater from New York. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters of affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining out. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me read, and I'll pass back to Lisa.
Thank you, Patty T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 54, the third paragraph that begins, "Hence we saw," and ends, "Man could never fly." We'll be commenting on that one paragraph. And I'll now ask Abby D. to please start reading for us.
Hello, good morning. My name is Abby D. I'm a recovered compulsive eater bulimic in Michigan. Hence, we saw that reason isn't everything. Neither is reason, as most of us use it, entirely dependable, though it emanates from our best minds. What about people who proved that man could never fly? So this just goes to show for me that, like, my thoughts aren't fact, my feelings aren't fact. Like, I can't just focus on reason alone, like knowledge and, you know, being so-called like book smart. There's a realm of the spirit that can't be explained, that there's something greater than myself that I can't explain. And, you know, what comes up to me is that, for me, is that, like, my perception is only my perception. It's only my reality. Like, there's so many different ways of thinking, and, you know, that's why I need this program. That's why I need other fellows, because my, you know, I hear in the rooms all the time, like, my best thinking got me here, or got me where I was. Now, you know, letting it go and being a part of the group and having a higher power and working these steps, like, has brought me to a greater force dimension than I could have ever thought to have before. And, you know, when I have certain beliefs about the world, I can get into resentment or fear. And when I check my thinking with other people, I can have a changed perspective within, like, like just doing a 10th step, I can have a completely changed perspective. So my perspective isn't fact, because how could it then, by working the steps, how could I have a, you know, a different perspective just a couple minutes later? Like, I can't depend on my own willpower. I can't depend on my own mind, my own thinking, my own feelings. Like, I need the realm of the spirit. I need my fellows. I need the fellowship. And I need these steps, and I need God, because I don't always know. I don't always know what's reality, what's right. So I'm just grateful to be here, and I hope you all have a great day, and I pass.
Thank you, Abby D., for getting us started this morning. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. If you've shared on any of the vision meetings on Monday or Tuesday, we ask you to hold back this morning. And who would like to share on what was read?
Kelly G.
Kelly.
Christina J.
Who was out? Oh, Christina, thanks.
Sarah G.
Sarah or Dara?
Sarah.
Sorry. Sarah, tell me your first initial of your last name.
G, as in girl.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jen A.
Jen. Anybody else? I have Kelly G, Christina J, Sarah G, and Jen A. Last call.
Karen K.
Okay. Karen, I'll put you on there. Okay. Kelly G, you're up, followed by Christina J.
Good morning, everyone. Kelly G, recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. Thank you so much for your service, Abby, and everyone here on the line. I love this. I love this because here's the thing. For me, my thoughts are my problem, right? What's between my ears, my mind? And for me, it's like I need to get out of my own way. And that's what this little excerpt today reminds me, is that I need to get out of my own way. And my thinking tells me that the more I eat, the more pain I'm in, continue to eat. The fatter I feel, the higher the scale goes, continue to eat. The more self-hatred I feel, continue to go in that direction towards self-hatred. That is where it got me before God, right? That is where I came in. That's where I started. I only knew how to create more pain and torture for my life. And I love what was shared about I can change my thoughts and my perspective so easily today. I crave having something happen where I am so, well, I don't crave it, but I am so stuck. And I love just picking up the phone with a fellow and literally being like, oh. And it's usually just a matter of, what about their perspective? Do you see it from their lens? And then when I get out of myself and just pretend to think how someone else may feel in the situation, it's almost like I need to be hit over the head with a baseball bat, and it's fine. Today, I love being hit over the head with a baseball bat. I love getting out of my own thoughts because that is where my problem lies. And last funny story that just relates is I remember being at the beach when I was younger, and I dug the deepest hole in the sand. And my mom told me, Kelly, don't do that. Someone's going to fall into it. And I said, Mom, no one's going to fall into it. Lo and behold, I went to the water to feel the water. I come back, and I fell into the hole. I hurt myself. And that is me in a nutshell. So I need to get out of my own way. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Kelly G. And Christina J., you're up, followed by Sarah G.
Hi, Lisa. Hi, everyone. Christina J. in North Carolina. Oh, take a deep breath and let go of the anxiety in my gut. My own thinking brought me to bankruptcy. My thinking was my God, and still is a lot of times, because I've lived there in my head for 100 years. Well, not quite 100, but you get my gist. If I had a thought about, oh, I'm supposed to go here and do this, I didn't check in with God. I didn't check in with anything. And yet I was supposed to have such belief in God and reliance on God. I don't think I ever had the word reliance in all my years of coming up from a kid to presently. I don't think that reliance was in there. I think I just went to food. My own thinking got me to almost 100 pounds overweight at one point and then kept me in relapse for almost 14 years on and off throughout the time I've been with Vision. Not 14 years, 10 years. Until I was to surrender to reliance on something I couldn't see. I mean, I can see it. To me, I can see it. I see it in your eyes. I see it in nature. I see it in the miracles in the world. I see it in the pain and the recovery. I see it in the rising of the phoenix from the people around here that have suffered from the hurricane. I see it. I can't prove it. But until I was able to come to a reliance on that and surrender my life fully, surrender everything I think I was supposed to do in life, to surrender everything. You know, I don't like it a lot of times. I don't like my job. I sit there, I go, God, please help me. I don't want to be here. You know, but I got to rely on you because you put me here. You give me this food plan. You've given me this. You've given me that. And I got to trust that this is what it's going to be. And I'm not happy, joyous, and free a lot of times. But there are times when I am. And I have to know during those times when I'm not, he's always there. He's always, he, she, whatever you want to call it, is always there. Sometimes I don't feel like tapping in, right? Because I don't feel good. I've been going through some health issues, some major adrenal burnout since the hurricane. And I'm exhausted, and I'm tired, and I'm sick, and I don't feel good. But I know God's there. I know he's there, and he's going to help me. And I don't have to use food to feel better today. Because I want, you know, my go-to was food. My reliance was on food. I didn't know I was supposed to rely on a God. So now, today, this program has taught me that I can rely on that unseen thing. You know, I can rely, because I'm the one that told me, oh, you'll never fly, right? I'll never fly with God. Oh, what do you mean, trust God with all this stuff? I want to do what I want to do. That was the barrier. It wasn't that I was outright, you know, saying, I just said, oh, God must want me to do this. That's me. That's just me getting in the way of it all. But today I have just surrendered, and just one day at a time, and it's not easy. I struggle a lot of days. I know that God's guiding me. He's at the helm, and I'm supposed to row. Love you all. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Christina J. And Sarah G., you're up, followed by Jen A.
Hello. Hello, Sarah G., calling from New York. I'm so grateful for this program. I'm putting myself out there because I still am trying to take control over this disease, and one way is isolating and doing things my way. And for today, I'm not going to isolate. And it's not that I God is everything, as the program says. And part of what program is, as someone had said at the beginning, I need all the tools. I need the fellowship. I can't do this in isolation just with God. I need all of you. And that's it for today. Okay, I pass.
Thank you, Sarah G. And Jen A., you're up, followed by Karen K.
Well, good morning. This is Jen A., recovered in Colorado. Thank you, God, for saving a girl like me. Thanks for taking the meeting. And Abby, thanks for kicking us off. You know, I have a lot of reason. I can explain to you, I can justify, I can rationalize. I have all this logical defense. It's my brain, and it helps me do all those things. And, you know, when I first came to Overeaters Anonymous, I would say that my best thinking got me here. I hear people say that all the time. My best thinking got me into the gym, got me up and down the scale. But sometimes it wasn't even my mind that got me there. It was just, I don't know, it was just, it's that mental blank spot, right, in my mind. And I will just say that the hopelessness was so bad around the food that I came here. But little did I know that, you know, people would say, oh, you have a broken mind. your thinker's broken. And my dad would say to me, Jenny, use your head, use your head. And I would never use my head, right? Because I felt like my head always got me into hot trouble. Today I use my head. I'm just going to say I do use my mind. I don't let my mind control me, but I do use my mind. And this program has taught me how to use it and lead me back to God. And how does it do that? I've had two amazing sponsors that have walked me through the 12 steps. And, you know, using those 12 steps helps get me out of my mind and helps me get heart-centered and back to God. Using those columns and seeing for myself, you know, how it affects my self-esteem, my pride, my ambitions, my pocketbook, my sex relations. I mean, looking at all that, that helps me see when I write it down in black and white on a piece of paper. And then, you know, I get to see how I'm being selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and what is really the fear that is driving me? Because that's what it is, right? Somebody said it yesterday in the meeting. Selfishness and selfishness is the root of my problem. But I do know that when I work it through these steps, which is the answer for me on a daily basis, I find hope. I find God. I find power, and I find possibility. You know, faith is I have a God, and faith is that I trust that God. And the biggest prayer I pray today and that I pray to my Creator is, Thy will, not mine, be done. It's the password on my computer for 7 years. It's the password to my heart. Because if I can get out of my head, use my head, but get out of it and get out of my own way, then I can get in front of God and God can show me how I'm to be and how I'm supposed to act and how I'm going to live each day out. That's miraculous. It saved my life. I'm spending 10 years in a company that I thought I would never make it. 90 days after a written review in 2018. I'm telling you, people, I've experienced the miraculous, not just with the food, but with life in general, relationships, kids. I sat next to my ex-husband and his wife and my parents at a volleyball game last night, and people are like, you're not still married to him? Nope, been divorced for 14 years. We had no idea. That's right. That's God in my life. Now, I thank you, God, for faith. I can't see it, but I can believe it. And I'll close by saying this. Christina said it, and I loved how she said it. But if you think about Peter Pan, he sings at the end, you can fly, you can fly, you can fly. It's the freedom of working these 12 steps that's gotten me the freedom to fly. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jen A. And Karen K., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. This is Karen Kay from Virginia, a compulsive reader. And I really like these sentences here. And what it really reminds me is that, you know, when I was before recovery, although before I found this program, I was explaining, reasoning, justifying, I'm doing this because my kids have just pushed me to the edge and I have nothing else to do, so I'm gonna mess around with food. Or, you know, my husband isn't reading my mind and so I'm so angry I'm gonna mess around with food. Or even just, you know, I'm bored, I'm lonely, I'm tired, like, oh, food. It's just, this is what I do, this is what I do. And, you know, when I came into the program and learned that I was trying to reason, well, I wasn't trying, I was reasoning, explaining, justifying my food behavior with the mind that I can't trust my mind regarding food and food behaviors and all the other behaviors that come along due to my addiction, that my mind isn't trustable. And so what I learned was that, I needed to have help. I needed to have help, and I needed to turn to my higher power, and I needed to ask God to help me with this brain that thinks that overeating, purging is the solution to my problems. And then I had to cooperate with God, right? Like, I knew that God didn't want me to for my brain to respond that way, right? Like, that's not, that ideally isn't what God would have for me. And so I had to cooperate, and I had to put the food down, and I had to be willing to go through these steps, and I had to learn about myself, and I had to trust God. And so today, I trust God. When my kids are pushing me to the edge, I ask God, oh my gosh, what am I going to do here, you know, and I may get a nudge, call fellow, you know, oh, my husband didn't read my mind, it was my birthday, and he didn't get me anything, oh, okay, like, what's your part in that, you know, like, and I live this life so gratefully as a result of my relationship with God. And so I just wanted to share that, and I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen Kay. And we are on page 54 in We Agnostics. We are, we've read and commenting on the third paragraph that begins, hence we saw and ends, man could never fly. Who else would like to share this morning?
Jim C., New York.
Veronica C., New York.
Lisa
M., Virginia.
Thank you, Lisa. Nancy
Jessica Heavenly S.
I think I heard Nancy P. Kimberly.
Natalie S.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Natalie.
Miriam J.
Miriam J.
Jessica C.
Jessica. Y'all are being so nice this morning. Okay, let me tell you who I have, and you can let me know if I miss somebody. Jim C., Veronica C., Lisa M., Nancy P., Natalie S., I think, Miriam J., Jessica C. Did I miss somebody?
Mary C.
Okay. Oh, say again?
Mary, Maisie C. from Massachusetts.
Maisie C. Thank you, Maisie. Okay. Jim C., you're up, followed by Veronica C.
Hi, good morning. This is Jim C., gratefully recovering compulsive eater in New York. I don't often get to join a live call, so I did this morning. So I said, okay, you gotta step up and talk. So that's what I'm trying to do. I was sitting here, as I often do on these calls, thinking, how did I get here? How did I get here? Because I was one of the people that we've heard about in previous paragraphs, right, of this chapter that made fun of religion, not necessarily spirituality. I didn't know the difference between those two, but I definitely was really ignorant about it. And so to sit here every day and listen mostly to recorded calls again, but to listen to calls that are so spiritually focused sometimes really boggles my mind. And it hit me that, like, the irony in it all, because I was living entirely in reason. There was, you know, if you told me on day one of walking into an OA meeting that I'd be listening daily to a call like this, there's just no way. But somehow, some way, the irony in it is that my higher power let me crack the door, right? For whatever reason, just thankfully, right? My higher power let me crack that door, and I saw a little bit of light coming through. So I just kept coming and listening. And eventually I got a sponsor who turned me on to vision calls. And like, the irony in it is just really blaring. It's so bright in my eyes this morning. And then the other thing I was sitting here thinking about as people were sharing is the freedom that I have really come across in this recovery. I just did my first amends with my wife this weekend. And at the end of it, she's like, well, but why? Why is all this? Why did this happen to you? Why did you turn to food? Why, blah, 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 blah. And I said, I don't. I was trying to figure out the why and trying to reason all of it. But that it feels so good to say, I don't know, Erica, and I don't care. Right? Like, and she's like, really? I'm like, no, I don't. I feel good now. This is the way I'm going. And I don't care about the reasoning and all of that anymore. And that was really free. That felt so free. So with that, I'll pass. And thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Jim C. And Veronica C., you're up, followed by Lisa M.
Hi, Veronica C. from New York. Thank you for taking the meeting and very grateful to be here this morning. For me, my faith was very intertwined with trust. And I was thinking an awful lot about my young brain and how I viewed my faith, because I had trust in something greater, even at a very young age. But looking back at it in retrospect, I can see that a lot of that was born out of fear. I mean, that was sort of the way that my brain had transposed what something greater than me was something to be afraid of, something I had to obey. And as a younger person, I was always working on obeying. So that trust was tainted somewhat because of the way that my brain was functioning and the way that I was feeling about what it was that I was thinking about something greater than me. And as I've grown and as I've gone through my life and then subsequently getting into the program and working the steps, a whole new perspective evolved. Now, it had been evolving over the years, and I started to see more of a loving presence. But I still had this idea of something that was almost human, and although I do believe that God is in each and every single one of us, I also believe it's greater than us, greater than the human being. So the steps really brought home to me the fact that this presence is so vast and so expansive that even my human brain can't encompass all of it. But I know that with every single aspect of my life, that there's a presence that's in there that's greater than me. And it's creating something, it's doing something, however it's doing that. So my faith has really grown through the steps, and it's helped me to have a trust that I'm thinking today is much more loving and accepting, and it's not born out of fear, but it's born out of a necessity to want to be sane. So today I feel that there is a sanity that runs through me that I never had for years and years and years, because I was always running on the tainted self-will that I had. And I'm not saying that I didn't do great things or that there weren't great people in my life or there wasn't love in my life, but the way that I allowed it to operate. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Veronica C. And Lisa M., you're up, followed by Nancy P.
Good morning. My name is Lisa M., a recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Virginia. And thanks, everybody, for doing service here at this meeting. I appreciate it. And for me, you know, just thinking about reasoning and logic, and I'm a person of mathematics. I love calculus, and I love geometry, and I love algebra, and things always work the way they're supposed to work in that realm. You know, 1 + 1 always equals 2. 2 + 2 always equals 4. There are theorems and there are axioms that always work. And, you know, as a compulsive overeater and understanding what it was for me, you know, I'm eating compulsively, I'm feeling miserable. I may feel okay for 5 seconds or 10 seconds, but then after that, there's a miserable feeling. There's a sinking feeling. There's guilt. There's shame. There's all of it. logic or reasoning says, stop doing that. You know, don't do that anymore to your body. Don't hurt yourself anymore like that. That logic never worked. I could not stop. I was powerless over the food. And even though I was hurting, even though I was sad, even though I was depressed, even though all of that, I still went back to it time and time again. And how is that reason? How is that logic? How does that make sense to anybody? It doesn't. And so for me, I needed a spiritual solution. I needed God to intervene and to come in and do for me what I could not do for myself. And he has done just that. And I'm so grateful for what God has done. It surpasses reasoning. It surpasses logic for me. And I'm just so grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa M. And Nancy P., you're up, followed by Natalie S.
Hi, good morning. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. Thank you for letting me share. So I don't think, I'm still an agnostic. In fact, I'm more agnostic today than I was yesterday, and I will be more tomorrow than I am today. There's nothing in this book that tells me that I can't be agnostic, shouldn't be agnostic, or that it's a bad idea to be agnostic, in my opinion. And in this case, my opinion is the only one that counts. Because I found relief. I found relief from my obsession. I found relief from my character defects. I found relief from everything that ails me in my life. But I'm not cured. I know that, you know? I mean, the data show me that I'm not cured. Trust me on this. Anybody who doesn't trust me, call me. Over the past couple of weeks, I've talked to a lot of people. I've made outreach calls. I've gotten outreach calls. And there's sort of a theme is that some people pick up. We all, you know, I know what that's like. I know everybody else does too. And what I see, you know, again, this is not reasoning. This is just data for me. What I hear, the common thread is that everybody that picks up either only prays or doesn't do anything about it. And, what I found in my lived experience was, you know, way back in the day, way back, you know, in the 70s, the early 70s, that I didn't want anybody to help me. I thought I could do it myself. And my attitude was, get away from me and leave me alone. And everybody said, no problem, we'll do just that. But when I had been really beaten and I was really scraping the bottom and broken and bruised and bleeding, finally I called my dear friend and I found out, you know, I had called her many times over the years, you know, when I was on the edge. You know, when I was pregnant, I got a test result back that was non-life compatible. Oh my God, you know, she talked me enough to let that friend. And she turned me on to this meeting. And on December 1st of 2017, I dialed into this meeting. And that, starting that day, I have not had to hurt myself with food under any circumstances. But the previous day, I was sobbing in my car over my donuts. From one day to the next, gone. And I personally would never, ever say, oh, yeah, that was God. I don't even like to say that word, but I would never say that. I would never think that. There's only one thing that got me over the hump. One thing and one thing only. Say it with me. Surrender, surrender, surrender. And once I did that, it's not like everything, you know, suddenly got awesome. No, not by a long shot. I mean, I did get better, but everything else in my life, got not everything, but other things, you know, some things in particular got really worse. My daughter ended up in the hospital, you know, in and out of the hospital, in and out of locked wards, hacking and burning and hurting herself, hacking herself up and burning herself. And I was howling, but I didn't eat no matter what. You know why? Because I was on the phone if I wasn't working, sleeping, or actively with my family. I didn't do this myself. And today I still don't. You know, today I'm happy, joyous, and free. I don't hurt myself with food under any circumstances. I help other people. I comprehend the word serenity, and I know peace. And I would even go further and to say that the happy, joyous, and free business, my life is boiling over with joy and light. Every breath I take, and I can trace it back. The data show me. I can trace it back to one thing, that one thing and one thing only. Surrender, surrender, surrender. And I would also say, combined with constant contact with other compulsive overeaters. I cannot do it without that. Even if somebody tied me down and fed me three times a day, I would still be insane unless I could talk to other people about themselves, about myself, and about recovery. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy P. And Natalie S., you're up, followed by Miriam F. up. Natalie S. is up, followed by Miriam J.
Hi, this is Natalie S. in Indiana. And I appreciate all the other shares, too, and I just want to say thank you to everybody on this line. I'm living in recovery for about a year and a half, and my life over that time has been just kind of fraught with what I call, it's been fraught with total change for sure. Every minute of the day, it feels like, or every three months. And I know that I couldn't have done it if I didn't have a higher power. And what I wanted to share specifically was that I'm in this place, and I've heard that as the disease is progressive, I always forget, but there's three P's, right? Progressive, empathetic, or something like that. And I'm given hope because so is recovery. And the only way I know how to recover, in addition to the 12 steps, is to turn my will immediately when I wake up. So right now, God is presenting me with a new way of living. I haven't had a job, a full-time job, for a year and a half. I've moved probably, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 times in a year. It's just been craziness. I've had to rely on other people to help me. I've had to ask. I've had to learn how to ask for help. And I always felt a lot of shame. But if I'm led by my higher power that I call God, if I connect with that power first thing in the morning and ask, God, you know, I feel my anxiety in my stomach. People feel it different places. My disease of thinking is presented by a desire to restrict or overexercise. If I don't follow the disciplines that have been set up for me by other people with a meal plan and an exercise plan, and wake up and say, God, I feel crazy. Help me, help me, help me. Then I know I have the tools and the wherewithal to at least have a better day than I would if I just went about my business and tried to do this on my own. And I haven't flown yet. And there's still a lot of unknowns. But I have a feeling that life is always going to be like that. There's never any assurance in life. My dad passed away a year ago, and there's one assurance I have, and I'm going to die. One day I'm going to die. And the question between now and then is, how do I want to live? And if I want to live and be of use to other people and to hopefully die in a place where, in my faith, I get to meet that God and see people that I have loved over the years, I want to hear, you did a good job. You did the best that you could. And and I'm thankful for the program and all the reminders that you all give me to look back to that spirituality of this. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Natalie S. And Miriam J., you're up, followed by Jessica C.
Thank you. This is Miriam J. from Massachusetts. Thank you for your service. The shares this morning have been really wonderful. You know, I feel that I was blessed at birth with the gift of intellect and the gift of faith. So why was it that those two things weren't enough to put down the food? You know, I have spent way too much time trying to figure that out. And what I know today, what I've been taught by all of you, is that intellect has to be used in the right way. And I didn't know how to do that. I thought it was a standalone kind of thing. But when I use my intellect in a way that I believe my higher power would like me to use it, then it works. It's not a standalone. And I had faith, but I didn't have trust. And it took me a very long time in this program to trust enough to totally surrender. So I guess, you know, what I heard this morning when we read this is intellect and faith aren't enough. And so what? So what do I do then? Well, this program and this book and these steps teach me how to use those gifts in the right way so that I don't have to hurt myself with food anymore. And I am immensely grateful for that. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Miriam J. And Jessica C., you're up, followed by Maisie C.
Hi, good morning. Jessica C., recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. I really love the analogy of the Wright brothers and how it's applied to how we can have a spiritual experience that removes our food obsession and defects of character, even if it's never happened before and seems totally improbable. This reminds me of this counseling technique that I was taught by several psychologists and therapists, where you do a thought record and you take, a negative or a distorted thought through these logical questions, like, you know, are you in black and white thinking? Are you catastrophizing? Are you fortune telling? What would a friend tell you if you told them what you were thinking? And I, this technique just never worked for me, you know. And it came from, you know, really reputable books. Like I said, like several counselors told me about it. So it must have worked for other people, lots of other people. It was definitely based on logic, but it never removed those thoughts that drove me into the food. But I kept trying this technique because I had nothing else to help me before I found OA. It was actually in the middle of doing one of these thought records while I was binging that I remembered that my doctor, when I was a teenager and first trying to lose weight, that my family doctor first told me about OA. So the recovery that I have today is the result of taking actions, working the steps that didn't make sense to me at all, that didn't seem logical. You know, the other technique, the thought record, made a lot of sense to me logically. It was sort of evidence-based, but didn't work. The steps did work for me, although I couldn't see how they could work logically. I could see how they were working for other people. I had exhausted all other options when it came to trying to resolve my compulsive overeating. So I really threw myself into working the 12 steps. Even though it didn't make sense to me, I couldn't see how it would work. And something happened that never happened before. The removal of the food obsession happened, you know, and that happened quite quickly when I was working the steps. The removal of my character defects, you know, my chronic fear, my selfishness, self-centeredness is happening much more slowly, but it is happening. These are being removed from me. I don't avoid and procrastinate. I don't like those. For me, those are manifestations of fear. I don't do that anymore. Again, a miracle of something that never happened before is happening for me. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jessica C. And Maisie C., please share with us.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I have to apologize. My little puppy that I just got is squeaking a toy, and I hope it's going to be okay. If I take it away, he'll box, so that's worse. I am Maisie C. from Massachusetts, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I love this meeting. I love this book. And, you know, I was thinking, it says about never fly. I feel truthfully like I am flying, and it's only because of the love of God that he is carrying me and taking me on a beautiful journey. You know, I remember years ago, I've been in program for 24 years, and I tell you, I hadn't been able to get more than 3 months of abstinence. And now, since I've been coming to this meeting and hearing all you lovely people talk about your God, and I've always believed in God. There was a lot of years I didn't believe he was there for me. I know different today. Thank you, God. I'm just so grateful for this meeting because I've learned so much already. And this is the first time that I've been abstinent since May 1st. I remember years ago, when I first got into program 24 years ago, my husband at the time, I was praying. I was saying, God, please don't let me. He said, are you kidding me? You think God's got time for your little food? He said, don't you think he's got enough to do? And, you know, at the time, I got to be honest, I said, you know, he's right. God doesn't have time for me. Well, he was so wrong because God has time for each and every one of us. You know, Matthew 7:7 says, knock and the door shall be open, ask and I shall receive, seek and I shall find. And that's all I have to ask. That's all I have to do is just ask God to guide me, to help me, to show me what my next step is. And I can do all things through him. And his promises come through every day. And I'm again, just so grateful that I don't have to be on that merry-go-round anymore, going around in circles and being crazy and not just the weight on my body, but the weight in my head. You know, I was in a fog. I've made such rotten, terrible, terrible decisions and things with my life when I was in the food. One I made 9 years ago that is traumatic, and I'm dealing with it now, and I'm clear-headed now, and I can see what a big mistake it was, so I have to clear that up, and it's going to be a messy situation, but I can do it because I walk with my Lord, and I work the program to the best of my ability, and I don't eat sugar and flour, not even stevia. That was my big problem I found out this time. Each and every other time. Thank you. Thank you. I'll pass. You all have a blessed day.
Thank you, Maisie C. And we have time for one more 2-minute share, if anyone would like to share with us this morning.
Good morning, Mary Lee R.
Yes, please go ahead. Share with us, Mary Lee R.
Wow. Good morning. This is Mary Lee R., and I'm from Eugene, Oregon, and I happen to be in North Carolina this morning. And being on the meeting lifetime, my soul has just been fed by everything that I have heard. And I'm visiting a cousin that I haven't seen since I was 19 years old, and I'm a lady in my 80s now. And it's just, she's open to this program. She wants to hear more about it. And this meeting has just been my mainstay. And I give thanks for technology that I can take it with me and that I can use my GPS to drive at night to someplace I've never been before. And I'm just so grateful to be here among my Podmates and to hear the recovery and the joy that recovery can bring us. And I'm just so grateful. Thank you for letting me share. Mary Lee R. currently in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Lee R. And thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, October 23rd, 2024, a 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 21,855. That's 21855. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Nancy R., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until keep you until then.
Yes, good morning. It's Nancy R., a recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. Getting to the page, I lost it, sorry. Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come. If your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you have not got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until